In all honesty, this Matthew passage brings up for me some not great feelings. To be honest, it's memories of my youth group watching a movie. And yes, for me, in my day, when our youth group watched a movie, it was a big deal. It was the big reels that came in cases and ran on a big machine that had that, you know, that sound that you just don't hear anymore of the machine running, especially at the end when the movie popped off and it was silent. But there was a movie that my youth group watched about the end of time, being left behind, the darkness of the world, the fighting, the hate, and those memories bubble up in me, and that fear just fills me. I've spent years trying to understand that movie and why they felt a need to show it to the teenagers. God, I don't want to be a goat. I'm a sheep, really, really. I've done everything good. That vision of God sitting on a huge royal throne, judging every person at the end of their lives. I've spent a lot of my years since that youth group trying to get over that movie and trying to get past that feeling of being judged, needing to prove myself. And this is Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the liturgical year, the Sunday before Advent begins. The Sunday we're supposed to really emphasize and contemplate what it means to call Jesus Christ our King. We read the scripture that is Jesus' last message before his journey to the cross. His kingship just really, really becoming known. We've come to view in our society a king as one that sits with great power, that sits on a large chair with a big, beautiful crown with jewels all around it, huge, ornate robe, looking down on his or her people, passing judgment on how they are living and deciding on what their fate should be. So to be honest, it's hard for me to appreciate Christ the King Sunday because it's hard for me to think about Jesus in that kingly, judgmental sort of way. I've spent years picturing Jesus in such a different way than that. So what is this passage really about? You may see something totally different from me. That's one of the reasons I love being a Baptist, is that we all get to look at our scripture and interpret it our own way. But what do we get out of this scripture? Is it about doing what we need to do in order to go to heaven? That's what it sounds like to me. If you do this, you go to heaven. If you do this, you're punished. Is that what the whole central message of the Bible is for us? Is our emphasis supposed to be on doing what we need to do so that at the end of our lives we're all square with God and we can sit back and live the good life? As our song said, okie dokie. Hunky dory. Sorry, got it wrong. Hunky dory. Do we do what we need to do so at the end of our life everything is hunky dory with God? I can honestly say I do a lot of thinking about what's down the road. I need to do this so that I can do that. We study in school usually because we have an idea of something that we might want to do in the future. As singles, we date because we're looking for that person to spend our life with. I eat a reasonably healthy meal as often as I could on that possibility of a really great dessert later. We think about what's down the road, don't we? It's what the world's taught us to do. I loved a sermon that I think Brent Beasley preached at youth camp several years ago when he used the examples of car headlights on a car and that they only shine right in front of you to see what is right there. They don't shine miles down the road to tell you what's coming. They don't show you what's around the corner. They don't show you what's sitting in the middle of the road. They shine right where you're headed. And that's what you need to worry about. That's a great visual for me because I want to see way down the road. Jesus walked on this earth and Jesus talked with people. And he told stories and he touched people because he wanted us to know what to do and how to live now. Not so that we would have a cushier life later. Desmond Tutu said it this way: we are not searching for pie in the sky, but for pie in the here and now. I think that's what this passage is trying to convey to us today. The conflict over who is king is still acted out in our lives today. Sure, it's thousands of years later, but it's still a battle each and every day. The world wants us to worship all that is not God. I'd go so far as to say that our culture celebrates when we do. When we allow all the things of this world to guide us as opposed to God guiding us. Jesus showed us that living a life counterintuitive to the world is what it's all about. The world wants power to be about fame and about wealth and about people bowing at our feet. But God wants service and self-sacrifice and love and community and us bowing at other people's feet. The kingdom that Jesus showed us was not one of achieving, but of doing. Of giving. Barbara Brown Taylor tells the story of being in seminary and really needing God to tell her what she was supposed to do with her life. And she said she prayed hard and she asked often. And finally, she heard God say to her, "Do what pleases you and belongs to me. Do what pleases you and belongs to me." I read that over and over, and at first I thought, wait, that doesn't sound right. What if what pleases me is to do nothing? I can just say, "God, I'm just going to sit here all day and think about you. It's all going to be about you." But then I really started thinking about it. If it pleases me, it should be about God, or I won't be pleased. I'm going to give God whatever I do, then I'm going to want that to be the best it can be. I don't think God's going to be very impressed with a fancy title on my business card. I don't think God's going to be very impressed with my fancy car or the gadgets that I may have or the inheritance I may leave my family. What does matter to God is how I loved. Did I love others? And did I love them extravagantly? Did I help others and help them without expecting anything in return? Did I share the teachings of Jesus with others, helping them know his love? Jesus didn't walk the walk of a king. Not like we think of kings. He walked the walk of the least of these. I think I sometimes allow myself to think of myself as better. And because I'm better, I need to help those who aren't. But Jesus, who was the best, didn't see himself as better. Most people thought of him as the least. The one who had the power to call the angels, who had the power to heal and to rule, but he ate with beggars, and he walked with lepers, and he talked with fishermen. He touched the sick. He visited the lonely. He showed the least of these, me, how to live. If I'm going to call myself a believer, then I can't continue to act like a goat. I have to walk as Jesus walked and talk as Jesus talked. Live a life that reflects God to everyone, not from a position on high, but side by side. I think I finally did get over my trauma of my youth, thinking my life was going to be one big test, and that the end I'd find out if I passed or I failed. You know, it's true that some of the hardest tests I ever had in school were tests that I knew the exact questions beforehand. We have the one question before us. The one question that's on our test every day. How did I respond to human need? They were alone, in need, no family close by, sitting in an empty home, alone. Did I or did I not stop by? They were in prison, cut off from society for their misdeeds, a criminal, yes, but still human beings. Did I or did I not visit? They were hungry, peering into the world of banquets and diets. They saw more food flushed down disposals than my entire family had eaten. Did I or did I not offer them anything to eat? They were without clothing, looking into shop windows, gazing at the wardrobes of the world, waiting for styles to change, hoping for a coat or a dress. Did I offer them anything to wear? They were a stranger, new at the job, new in the city, new on the street, new in the neighborhood, new in the apartment building. They didn't know a soul. Did I introduce myself? Our final quiz is not how often did you go to church, how often did you read the Bible, how often did you pray. All important parts of our relationship with Christ. But the question asked of us, each and every moment of every day. How did you respond to human need? How did you respond to human need? We enter into a time in our service when we respond to God's call to us. Our call to respond to others in need. So as we stand and we sing, I invite you to think and to pray. And to ask yourself that question. How do I respond to human need? And if there is something you would like to share with this community of faith, or if you would like to unite with this community of faith,